I'm not sure. Our music kind of switched, but if we're ready for me, thank you for joining us and welcome to another edition of Answers Network. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And for those of you that have been listening, since such word that every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific time, this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in today's case, I guarantee you entertain while bringing answers and options to making our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. And I'd really appreciate it if you could all do me a big favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know who can benefit from a particular subject. This is one powerful way that we together can make a positive influence in the world. And speaking of making a positive influence, joining us as my co-host today again is Rachel Coe. And Rachel is a serial entrepreneur, published author, mother, and mental health advocate. And in recent years, she developed and became a co-CEO for Transformational Solutions, a life coaching program that specializes in addiction, trauma, and personal development. Weekly podcast, Kicking It with the Coes, that she hosts with her brother Jesse and father Martin Coe. Now, having known her since she was a teenager, I can attest that Rachel is motivated to help break the stigma of addiction and show people how to have a purpose-driven and meaningful life. Rachel, thanks for joining us. And how are you and your beautiful family doing?
Oh, Alan, I love co-hosting with you. So I'm always honored and privileged to be on this show. Thank you for asking me to be a part of it. My family's doing amazing. I'm in love with my family. My son is recently 4. I don't know if when's the last time you saw Jackson, but he's doing amazing.
I think it was more like this.
When he was a baby. Yeah, he's incredible.
Well, I know what's new is the new podcast, and I've listened to Kicking It with the Coast myself, and I want everybody to understand it is great. And one of the things that I love is how you address issues that the characters in the hit show Cobra Kai are dealing with, like bullying. So share a little bit as to what you hope listeners are going to get out of checking out the podcast.
Well, people ask me all the time in interviews, how did you start the podcast? Where did the idea for doing the podcast come from? And I was out, my dad plays John Kreese on the hit show Cobra Kai, which is on Netflix. And we were all driving in the car, my brother, my twin brother, Jesse, who you know, my dad very well. And there was an interest to do a podcast with Podcast One with my dad and my brother. And I just saw this wonderful opportunity, a pretty unique opportunity to do something as a family where we can use this platform of Cobra Kai to talk about real issues that exist in the show and like bullying. But also, I want people to have the experience of watching a family together talking and communicating. And I have this, desire to, give people inspiration on how to build a career in show business and in entertainment as an artist or wherever, however you're trying to develop your career. I want them to come to this podcast and listen to that. And then also, we talk a lot about what exists in the show, which is bullying and
Oh,
the
yeah.
real life mental health problems that exist because of bullying. So that's what you're going
Well,
to hear.
yeah, and that's one of the things that I loved was that I felt there's this combination of being entertained and as well as being educated in areas. And I think anybody that's watching it, if either they're young, if they have especially teenagers, and if they're going through some things, this may be an interesting way to look at it and have spoken about bond deals with things. So anyway, it's a great podcast. And if anybody wants to check it out, what's the best way? You just said you're on Podcast One, but what's the best platform for them to check it out?
Well, you're so sweet, Alan. Thank you for asking. Kicking It with the Coves is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast One, or wherever you listen to any of your favorite podcasts. It's available everywhere. It's also on YouTube. It's very exciting. I love it. You'll really see just how passionate my father and my brother and I are on these topics that we discuss. And it's funny. And it's one of those things, kind of like Cobra Kai, where Cobra Kai is this unique show where every individual in a family can watch it.
Yes.
Whether it's the older generation within the Karate Kid universe or the newer population within, you know, the Cobra Kai younger generation. That's kind of what we want to do with this.
Well, you guys have done it. And I highly recommend it to anybody out there. Check it out. Add it to your list of favorite podcasts. So I'm really glad that you're here, and especially on this particular show, because I think that what Cody is doing, what he is bringing, which is our guest, what he's doing is phenomenal. And I think he also is able to reach a lot of different audiences. And which is why I thought this would be a great show for you to be here as well. So let's bring him in, because our topic today and the title of our guest's new book is Schmooze: What They Should Teach at Harvard Business School. And if you've ever listened to this show, you will know that our guest he's doing the good works that this show was originally founded on. So Cody Laurie's story is that he now is this incredibly upbeat and hilarious person. So he has this great story now, but it wasn't always that way. In his past, knew poverty, abandonment, and a family that moved 32 times within a 7-year period. That's just incredible. Yet today, he's a Pied Piper of positivity with advice for everyone on how to make each day count. Cody has been a successful marketer for 30 years. He built a multi-million dollar ad agency from scratch. And so you'd say, how did he overcome his past to achieve such success? Well, he took on life with a unique perspective, executing bold ideas, making others laugh, and being even ever so mindful of the little guy, which is one of the things that I really like. His advice, if you read his book, you will see that you will learn about his travels, his ups and downs, and even how he auditioned for Saturday Night Live. Cody Laurie is a man who's lived a lot of life, and as they say, he's walked the walk too. Now he's here to show us the steps to take towards a better life for ourselves. Cody, welcome to Answers Network.
Wow, that might be the best introduction I've ever had. That was great.
Well, it is well deserved. And I mean, having learned more about you through videos, through your book, you are out there doing the good work. I mean, you know, it's like anybody out there, if they can give you a platform, you are making people look at things in such a positive way that, you know, we need more.
But I thought we might start off just kind of telling the people a little bit about schmooze. You know, it comes from the Yiddish word schmoozen, which means to chat idly in a friendly or persuasive manner, especially as to gain favor in, you know, business connections. My good friend, Dr. Nito Quibane, president of High Point University, a wonderful guy. I think he summed it up pretty good. He said, we live in the most connected society in the history of the world, and yet we are more disconnected than ever before. So schmooze is really about hearkening back to the days when we looked people in the eye, we greeted them with a smile. Our word was our bond, and our relevancy wasn't determined by, you know, our likes and clicks, so to speak. So I've been a schmoozer my whole life. You know, people say the book is, if you go to Barnes & Noble or Amazon or what, they'll say it's inspirational, it's funny. They say it's a quick read, and that's, you know, it's very short. I don't have a big vocabulary, so I had to make it short. And it's a communication book, and it's really a book about being persistent. And you mentioned, you know, we all have a past, and mine is quite unique. It's not the worst story you're ever going to hear, but it is different. My mom was a debutante from Detroit. Her father was Frank Cody's first president of Wayne State University. There's a high school there named after him. And so on the surface, you know, it looked like she was just, you know, set for the perfect life. And it was until she met Prince Charming, and that was my father. They were both camp counselors in Camp Chicopee. up in northern Michigan, and they Darlings that they took to Florida when I was about five, and it didn't work out so well. My dad, any money he had, you know, he invested in businesses that, you know, just didn't work out. Kind of a Willie Loman story, if you will. And soon we found ourselves in a situation where we were doing just what you outlined. Within a 7-year period, a 7-mile radius, we moved 32 times. We actually lived in two or three places twice. I mean, there's just so much rental property, right? And I can remember coming home with my little brother one day from school, and guess what? We didn't live there anymore. There were locks on the doors. And so it was crazy. And both my mom and dad, unfortunately, became alcoholics. And it was just, it was total chaos. And obviously, when you're moving like that, the rent, you know, not paying the rent. You also paid light, so they'll turn St. Vincent de Paul, because he was always there for us at Christmas with some food. And with that said, back then they didn't have food stamps. What they had was government food, and it was delivered to your house. And so it was a big day when the Spam and peanut butter came. But let me tell you something. With all of that said, I don't think I'd change a thing, because a lot of things very positively happened for my siblings and myself. My dad left, and my mom had to go to work for the first time in her life, and she instilled in all of us kids that, you know, things weren't good now, but you kids got, she would say, you know, you got blue blood running through your veins, and, you know, trying to build us up. But one thing for sure, we learned at an early age, and me, age 11, that you needed to go out and, you know, get your chin out of your ass, see if you can't make it happen for the Miami News. And the Miami News was located, obviously, in South Florida, but my beat was the Fort Lauderdale Sunrise Shopping Center. It's now called the Galleria today, and it was a great experience, because I learned so many things as a newspaper boy. Number one, no doesn't mean no, you know, and I'll share a little sidebar with you, you know, be kind to others. I actually learned that, and I learned that, you know, everybody's got adversity in their life. My favorite quote, and it's in the book, is a Japanese proverb. It says, fall down 7 times, get up 8. Right. But when I, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, now you, after talking about all the hardships and stuff, would you say that that would be one of the reasons why you have a greater appreciation for the things that you do have, or the people that have helped you?
I would say that's definitely yes, Alan. It's when you come from the background that I came from, and you got to keep charging, you know. And my mom said we were as good as the doctor's kids and the attorney's kids, so we had to work to keep up with them. We had to buy the, you know, work to get the Gant shirts and the Weegean shoes, and make sure that we had enough money to take our significant other to homecoming, and, you know, all those kinds of things. And, you know, so with all that said, I think for sure. I will tell you a funny, go ahead.
Well, let me just say, and because I'm going to, Rachel, I know that a lot of what you work with when you're doing transformation has a lot to do with gratitude and appreciation. Share a little bit of your thoughts in regards to that.
Well, I've been practicing, I have a gratitude practice that I've been using for 15 years. And I just know that now there's all of these studies that even at Harvard, right, they've done studies on gratitude and how it affects your neurobiology. So it's not a, you know, a foo-foo thing anymore. It's a real thing. And as soon as you do gratitude, a gratitude list, or you get into some type of gratitude practice, who doesn't feel better, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who doesn't feel better? And something that I really loved that you said earlier, Cody, was the importance of looking people in the eye. And yeah. I'm curious, do you feel like in our society, we've lost that a little bit?
Oh, I think for sure. And certain segments more so than others. I mean, you take millennials, and up until about, 2 months ago, I had 30 of them that just, that I work with. And I mean, they are buried in their eyes, buried in their social and what have you. And you probably know this, but you know, the when you look at the suicide rates in this country, the 18 to 22 year old is, I believe, number one. And I think when they're so ensconced in all of the digital stuff that's happening around them, I don't think they develop properly. I mean, you know, I went outside, I drank through a hose, and I played ball, and I did all those kinds of things. I do have a grandson that really concerns me when they come to visit. I mean, he's on that computer in the morning. He takes a break for dinner, and then at night he's on it. He goes to sleep, and he wakes up, and he's on it. And I've had a lot of serious conversations with my son Cody. So, yeah, it's a different time for sure.
It is a different time, and something I experience a lot with myself is that addiction to technology. And I'm always fascinated by how do we build a balance with it, because it's not going anywhere. We're the machines are only getting bigger, right? We have every technology is everything right now, right? So it's, I think there is there's a value in seeing, well, we need it on some level right now. And how do we also create some space from it, you know? And I think what the issue right now with teenagers specifically is they think that they're getting real connection from social media, and they're not.
No. That's for sure.
So, and Cody, so why don't you describe the future that you see in regards to our younger generation as how we...
Well, I think they need to read the book, Schmooze.
Exactly.
But if I could back up just a minute, just so your viewers have a better idea of what the book is. The sizzle in the book is setting up a meeting with the President of the United States in 1 week, getting a baseball signed by the Pope, carrying the torch in the Olympic torch relay, getting a Super Bowl ring gifted to me by an NFL coach that I have on today, if you can see it in the camera. And again, auditioning for Saturday Night Live. So, you know, everything is possible. And it's done with schmooze and persistence and in my favorite vocabulary. If you ask the kids that worked for me for so many years, you'd say, what's, you know, you ask him what his favorite word was. It's charge. Okay, let's charge regardless, you know. And but so schmooze really, you know, it's about all the things that Rachel just mentioned, and it's about being genuine, and it's about being kind to all regardless of class. So I just had a national company, I won't mention the name, but they just hired me to go out to Scottsdale. But one of the big honchos from the book, just from the golf tournament that I just did, we had a St. Jude function that I hosted, and we played golf, and I met this guy, and he said, you know, I've got insomnia, and I'll probably read this, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning. Next day, I look down, and I get up at four, right? So I look down at my phone, and he's texting me. He said, I'm on chapter 7. I can't put it down. My four kids are going to read this book. So I think, you know, while I tell people the book Schmooze, I mean, it crosses generational lines. I mean, I think it's great for obviously the millennials. It's obviously good to start as a generation. And I think there's just lessons throughout the book, Alan, that you know, that they will get. It's not like reading Ulysses. They'll have fun reading it.
Something that I've heard you speak on is that trust is the most important foundation in relationships, and that you gain someone's trust within the first 30 seconds. Is that what you wrote?
Oh, you've been doing your homework, girl.
Oh,
yes, you have.
Yeah.
Oh, in the book, Rachel, I talk about the secret sauce. And, you know, I have clients that, even though I left this one company, I have clients still on the books that I've had for over 30 years. So I talk about the secret sauce. You build the relationship, you get the client to trust you, and then you endure these. But what you just mentioned is so important, especially for people starting out in business, and how important it is that that first meeting, and not just the first few seconds, but whenever I would go into a meeting with a big honcho like Alan, you know, I'd know everything about Alan. I'd know how many kids he had. I'd know the colleges he went to. I'd know his pet charities. I would know. So I was always able to get on a common ground with him. And I will tell you that building that relationship quickly has been very, very successful for me. And I would encourage everybody to really try to do that. If I have just a minute, I'll tell you a story that it was just by chance that I was in a room. Okay, so I was invited to North Carolina, the Grove Park, and a very neat way to have spas, but now everybody's got spas. And so it's the Grove Park Inn. And I was invited by a guy, and I just talked to him yesterday, by the way. He was a Toyota dealer. And he said, Cody, why don't you come on up? The Toyota dealers are getting together and, you know, meet these guys. And that was kind of how he served it up. And so, you know, 2 weeks later, I'm up in North Carolina and at the Grove Park Inn. And I'm there the night before their meeting. And, you know, I'm having dinner with these guys. There's like 10 of them. And I'm making contact with them, right? I'm talking to this person and that person. And I'm going through, you know, the routine that I just went through. And I'm sitting there eating dinner, nice dinner, as I recall. And one of the dealers looks at me and he goes, who'd you bring with you? And I thought that was an odd question. And I said, I didn't bring anyone with me. He said, really? He said, you're going to get out there by yourself? Still don't know what he's talking about. Well, they were having a presentation for the account the next day. There were four agencies, including mine, that was, I got on the, obviously, the invite late, but they were invited to make a presentation to this group. Saatchi & Saatchi had the account. They, something went haywire, and they were not invited to this meeting, but here we are. I mean, I had no idea the next day I'm going to go and pitch for this multi, you know, million-dollar account. And I must tell you, and I guess it's my personality, because I did a woe is me and try to keep a stiff upper lip, you know, there at dinner and said my goodbyes. And I got up to the room, and I thought, I got to call the president here and tell him I'm not going to make it in the morning. I mean, I'm not ready for this, right? And then I thought, you know what? You know more about those guys in the room than the other people. Than all of them put together, right? So I decide that I'm going to do it. Now, in advertising, if you're going to make a presentation, and anybody in the business will tell you, you either want to be first or you want to be last. I was last, thank God. So, you know, I go down in the morning, and here's the other agencies, and there's at least four people, maybe five with each agency. You know, you got people with storyboards, and you have the media people. You have another lackey who's carrying parting gifts for the dealers. They all like those little things, you know. So I go on last, and the first group comes out, the second group comes out, and third group comes out. Now I go in, and one thing I just want to let you know is automobile dealers make decisions very, very quickly. You don't have to worry about, hey, we'll get back with you in about 4 weeks. No, they like to make decisions now. So I walk into the room week. Cody, how you doing? Hey, man, that was fun last night. Getting high fives and boom, boom, boom. And, you know, look forward to seeing you down in Florida. And so I go up in the front of the room. Now, no, I didn't know anything about the Charlotte market, but I did know our media strategy. I didn't have any set creative with me, but I knew our creative strategy. And I also did, fortunately, in the name of the Padre, El Hijo, and Espíritu Santo, amen, I had a new hot, what we call in the business, a sizzle reel. And I knew it was as good as anybody's out there. So I just went, and I was myself. I was genuine. I told them the story that I had no idea that I was going to be making a presentation this morning. But, you know, obviously I was very thankful that I was there. And when I was done, they applauded. And I didn't know that they, at the time, if they applauded for everyone, but they had that sign. And he said, absolutely, positively dismiss me. This guy doesn't have a chance, you know. So I go out there, I'm talking, and I remember the Italian guy. I'll say his last name, okay? Just don't tell anybody. Bertolami. So he comes out. He goes, "Hey, we're gonna see you inside here." Brr, brr. I thought maybe I was gonna get beat up. I don't know. So anyway, I walk in. I walk into the conference room, and they close the door, and all 10 of them plus 4 other people in the room, they get up and they give me a standing ovation. Said, "You won the account." Well, let me tell you something. That meant a lot. And it was the first. We were the first group to really take a big account like that away from the national agency. But the whole point of it is, it's about making a great first impression. It's about getting on a common ground, and it's about who you're benefited me my whole life. And I hope your viewers can get something from that.
All right. Our guest today is Cody Lowry, and we are talking about Schmooze. My co-host is Rachel Cove. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. But when we get back, Cody, I'd like you to share with everybody how you set up a meeting with the President of the United States in 1 week. So everybody stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Answers Network.
I can't wait.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that has legally, professionally, and compassionately located hundreds of runaways and teens. We are experienced and qualified to help, offering solutions which may include referrals to our international network of top professionals in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, psychiatry, and investigations. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services and West Shield Investigations are the best solutions when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers Network, or watching. And when we left, the question was to our guest, Cody Lowry, how were you able to set up a meeting with the United States in 1 week?
And I always tell people, it's okay to be naive, because sometimes you come up with ideas. People are like, what is he talking about? He's crazy. I mean, how are you going to meet with the president? I was working for a wonderful guy, Anthony Abraham, became a big, big philanthropist. Actually was one of the guys that that started St. Jude along with Danny Thomas, a Lebanese fellow. And I'm still involved with that charity today, as I alluded to earlier. But I was working for him, and I was his general sales manager. He had two big Chevrolet dealers, one in dealerships, one in Miami and one in Tampa. And Walter Annenberg, we're going back to Jimmy Carter days when, you know, we're looking at inflation and where that's going. I think inflation was about 14% there, and he was having a rough time of it. And Mr. Abraham was a conservative Republican. But he realized then, and I believe, and you know, your president is your president. You may not like him. He may be doing a lot of things wrong, but he's our only president. You got to stick behind him. So Walter Annenberg, philanthropist, started Reader's Digest. He had done a full page ad. It was called A Summer of Discontent, and the thrust of it was just what I talked about. That, you know, as bad as things are, you know, we got to get behind this guy because he's our only president right now. And so Mr. Abraham ran full-page ads in the Fort Lauderdale News, the St. Petersburg Times, and the Miami Herald. And that's when newspapers were relevant, right? They weren't, fish wrappers. People actually read them. And so anyway, he did these big, big, giant full-page, full-color ads that probably at the time cost him in excess of $20,000. So I'm in a meeting, and with the dealer and the general manager, and I said, "Hey, listen, the President of the United States is coming in next week." I said, "Why don't we try to set up a meeting?" And they looked at me like I was. Go ahead. Yeah. Yep,
can I ask
yep,
you a question? Yep. Just that moment.
Yeah.
Right? Can you set up a quick meeting with the President of the United States? States? Like, what was going through your head in that moment? Like, what gives you the confidence to even think about doing that?
I was naive. I didn't know that that was impossible, Rachel.
So that's what you mean about, because I actually, by the way, when I'm looking down, I write notes with everything that I do. So I'm writing notes in my iPad because I really liked what you said. It's okay. Give yourself permission to be naive. Why do you think that's important?
Well, I think it's important because so many great ideas are never pursued because, you know, the friends and that idea, you know, why you think you can pull that off? And yeah, so I mean, I've just I'm naive today, thank God.
Me
and
too.
I come up with crazy ideas. So but just getting back to it real quick, the general manager, actually, I'm going to tell you a little secret. He did not like me. He thought I was nipping at his heels and I was after his job, which I wasn't. But he's laughing. You know, he goes, hey, why don't you just see if you can't set it up? And the dealer says, yeah, go see if you can do it. So now what do I do? Well, I decide that I'm going to call Washington. I'm going to get a hold of, you know, somebody that can help me set up this meeting. And I don't have long, right? So I get on the phone and I called this office and I called that office, and finally they switched me to the scheduling office for the president. And I explained to him what I want to do. The president's down next, and present him with a plaque of recognition, a Summer of Discontent by Walter Annenberg. And I'm going on, you know, just so excited, like, you know, this is going to really happen. And the guy stops me in my tracks. He said, do you have any idea how many people want to meet with the president of the United States and you want to do it in, you know, next week? And I said, well, that's probably true, but you could count on one finger how many people just spent $20,000+ running full page ads in three of Florida's largest newspapers in support of the president in a state that is going to be critical to him in the upcoming election. So now this guy's tap dancing. He doesn't know who this guy is on the other end. And, you know, he's going to do his research. So he said, we'll get respectful and what have you. Cody Keish LeGrand is in town. She heads up the president's schedule. She's in town. She's staying at the Marriott, and she's expecting your call. So this doesn't take a whole lot long, but how I pulled this thing off right now, this is really good. So anyway, I call Keish, and then I go and I talk to her, and I go to this room. There's four rooms together, and there's people all over the phone talking to this representative, that representative, you know, getting ready for their big meeting. And I go over and I get Keish's attention, and I sit down and I explain to her what I want to do. And she says, well, I don't know. She says, I'm going to have to check with one other person, and let me get back with you tomorrow. Well, I knew who that other person was because they already said that she called the cards, you know. Mm-hmm. So it was her. It was the president, right? Jimmy Carter. You remember Jimmy Carter? So it was Jimmy Carter. Yes. I do impression of Jim. My name is Jimmy Carter. I always tell the truth. If I'm going to tell a lie, go know the tooth, you know. So anyway, in any event, I leave the hotel, and we have a famous, iconic bakery called Alessi. And I go by Alessi, and I get two of their big, giant cheesecakes, right? And I send it to the hotel with a little note. Keish, thank you very much. I appreciate your consideration, and whether, you know, you can or can't pull this off, it was great meeting you, Cody. Next morning, you know, and they're making a big deal. The White House is on the phone. The White House is on the phone. So I pick up the phone, and it's Keish, and she said, Cody, we've made arrangements for the president to meet with Mr. Abraham. And I'm going, oh, great. And I jump in right there. I'm so excited. I said, Keish, is there any way I can go? And she said, no, Cody, I'm sorry. That's not going to be possible. Now goes her formality. He gets done, and I said, Keish, I said, is there any way I could go with Mr. Abraham? And there was dead silence. I thought I pissed her off, right? She said, Cody, I'll handle it. Thanks for the cheesecake. So there's a little schmoozing, and that's how you kind of seal it up, and so you're included.
All right.
I think to Rachel's point, you know, you're naive. It was like, The setting, if we have time, the Saturday Night Live, how that came about was, you know.
Well, Cody, before we go to that, we've got a couple of questions that have come in from listeners, and I want to get these in as well. And again, I want to thank the listeners and viewers that take their time to do this. This one reads, I can't wait until your book arrives. My entire family will be assigned to read it, especially my two teenagers whose noses are buried in their phones most of the time. Fears are infested is a zombie-like deadness in their eyes. This should be a time when they are forming social skills, having fun with their friends, playing sports, and engaging in a host of other activities. What are your thoughts on this? And this is from Owen in California.
Well, I think the good news, Owen, is that you're on top of it. You love your kids, and you know, as I love mine, and I love my grandson, who I referenced earlier. And I think that, reading the book Schmooze is going to help, but that's not all of it. But the way, I mean, you were dialed in on the real issue, and I just think it's going to take not just encouragement from you, but you know, other family members to try to get these kids, you know, on the right track and socializing more. And I think one of the best ways, and you're out in California, you know, so you get getting kids is schmoozing from the podium. And I talk to people how important it is to get our kids up. You know, nobody's a child prodigy when it comes to speaking. It's something that's learned. And Warren Buffett was scared to death, you know, when he first got up in front of people and went to Dale Carnegie, and, you know, he learned how to do that. I would get my kids involved in acting and getting up in front of people and getting them out and feeling comfortable away from, you know, their technology. And
Rachel, what would you add to this?
Well, I loved that question, and I loved your response, Cody, so I learned a lot as well. I actually wrote this recently on my social media, or I'm about to post it, and I said that the two greatest gifts you can give to your relationships is attunement and your presence. And I think that if you're present and attuned, there's you to be, you're going to be able to catch things with your children. And, you know, you said something that I really appreciate, which was getting your kids up on a podium or like allowing your kids to be seen in their creativity and not judge them and not try to control them, but just allow them to be free. Children are so naturally authentic. Absolutely. And there is such an, in childhood, it's such an important time to let their creativity develop. It pushes them to build self-esteem and security with just learning. So I think for parents, don't shame kids for not knowing how to do something. And don't shame them while they're on the podium if they mess up and they don't do it perfectly. Validate them and give them encouragement. You did that. That's terrifying. And
yeah, absolutely.
And I say, we have a comment that's come in as well. And this one reads, I had to laugh when I read schmooze, as I had not heard that word in a very, very long time. It is definitely a term from way back that needs to be reinstated, as it is fun, active, and communicative. We have a sales team that I have been struggling to motivate, so I am ordering copies of your book for our office. Thanks so much for writing something positive, uplifting, and most of all, useful for life and business. And this is from another Rachel, and this is a Rachel in Arizona.
Oh, good name.
Yeah.
Cody, I have a question. What is it like to hear that someone wants to use your book to help people?
You know, I mean, you know, writing a book, as you know, it took me about 2 years to put it together. And then, you know, you work with a publisher, and, you know, we work with Simon and Schuster and the publisher and all these other people. I mean, it took forever for the book to come out. But, you know, it was something that I wanted to do. I wanted to share my life lessons. And, you know, you read a lot of books today, and I say this respectfully, but it's a lot of regurgitation going out there. And everybody's, you know, picking, you know, certain tips from other people and other research. And when you get in and you actually, you know, do a little bit of research, you understand that how important it is, at least I think, to talk to somebody who's, you know, like you mentioned earlier, Alan, walk the walk. And I have, mm-hmm. and I've had my ups, I've had my downs, and so it's not a biography. There's things in that book that go, why didn't you put Filbert in there? Filbert was a TV character that I did. Fabulous Filbert, friends. You know, I'm crazy. But it's not a biography, right? It's lessons that I've learned along the way. And I'm glad that I had an opportunity to do it. And it took me 2 years and it's done now.
Well, Cody, one of the things I like to do is to try to see if we can get our listeners to kind of rally behind something. And one of my thoughts was, why do you think they don't teach schmooze at Harvard Business School? Because, and especially now, all they have to do is base the class around your book.
Well, that's true. And that's a very good question. And I wish I had a clear-cut answer for you. But, you know, academia is academia, and they're running on their own, wavelengths and paths and what have you. And so I'm not exactly sure why they don't. Harvard, and I would love to address the graduating class.
Mm-hmm. Well, and here's the thing, and taking a page out of what I heard you say about how you got the presidential meeting is, you know, contact Harvard, point out that their name is in the name of the book, and you might want to lead them to believe that Yale sort of showing some interest in wanting to have you out there.
Good advice.
Good, Alan.
Little peer pressure there. I like that.
But we do have a lot of teachers that contact us, that tell us that they listen after school, that they just go to the website and they pick out the shows that they want and they listen afterwards, some of which send in questions ahead of time. So for the teachers out there or administrators, think about this. If they don't want to have it at Harvard, that doesn't mean you can't have it at your school too. So these are the type of things that if you can give your students this type of reading, this to me is going to put them way ahead of the curve when they're put out there, as they have been now. There's so many young people, especially because of COVID, that are now out there going, where are the jobs? The jobs that I want, I'm not able to get, or they're not available. Well, if you want to do something that's going to put you ahead of the curve, this would be a nice book to take you in that direction.
I agree.
All right. Let me just, we've got about four more minutes. I know that you talk a lot about laughter and how important that is. It's such an important element in life. It also seems to be lately, especially, you know, in the last couple of years, there's been so much negativity, fear and drama that's being put out there. Share a little bit about how you start your day with laughter and how others can do the same.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. If you asked 100 people that know me, they would say, what's Cody about? And first and foremost, they would tell you that I'm always in a good mood, which, you know, I've got things going on behind the scenes, right? I know everybody wasn't born with a lampshade on their head and they don't have the ability to, you know, they're not maybe terribly quick on their feet. But with that said, I think it's important for everybody to try to look at the funnier side of life. I tell people that, you know, nobody is guaranteed tomorrow and life is short. So, you know, have fun today.
Can I jump in on that really quickly? I 100% agree with you. And laughter, actually, similar to me, like after I've had a really good cry, I feel the same way after I've had a really good laugh. I just feel more free and open. I run, I do some emotional life skills group at an outpatient facility called Interactions in Encino in Los Angeles. And one of my dear friends, Bethany Dwyer, she actually runs these improv groups at this outpatient facility. And essentially it's these groups where she teaches people who are really overcoming some really serious addiction issues how to laugh again. And it is, I've been in those groups. It is some of the most transformative groups anyone could be a part of. They don't even know why it's so transformative, but it's because they're in connection in the moment, in the present moment, laughing.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in fact, and to add to that, I was part of a group that was headed by the comedian Craig Shoemaker, and it was so nice. We started each group with laughter. We ended each group with laughter. And if anybody knows Craig Shoemaker, and he's hosted the show as well with me, if he's involved in it, you're going to laugh, because that's what he does. He makes people laugh. But and there were a lot of people that came, that became part of the group, that brought some very, very traumatic things in their life. And it was very interesting to see how quickly through laughter we watched them. And we were doing this through COVID, so everything was on Zoom, but you could still see them get through things. That was just phenomenal. So yeah, the healing power of laughter is incredible.
I think because healing happens in the present moment, and nothing brings you to the present moment like laughter. That's what I've learned from Bethany Dwyer. If you don't know Bethany, you have to check out Bethany Dwyer. She's incredible.
Good. We'll have to do that as well. Yes.
Connect with someone who understands these core values that human beings need.
Yeah. Well, thank you. And it was a delight to be with you and Alan. And, I wouldn't mind getting with you later. I've got a situation that I went, I don't know if you're familiar with a group called Comunità Chinacolo. It is a group that was founded by a nun, and she works with kids that are struggling with abuse, drug abuse and alcohol and what have you, but it's a phenomenal program. I'll talk to you later about it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's been so much fun talking to both of you.
Yeah, so okay.
much fun. Okay, well, yeah. I'll make sure that we send the contact information.
Yes, we'll connect.
Our personal information. Perfect. So that we can all connect afterwards. That is great. Cody, thank you so much. And not just for coming on the show, but for continuing to put the information out there that everybody can have a better life. Everybody can enjoy their life more. You know, we need more people like you. We need more people like both of you, just, you know, helping people that are dealing with some issues, but also showing them the light, showing them a way that they can create a life that is wonderful for them.
Thank you, Alan. You're the best.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you both. And you both need to come back as soon as possible. And
thank you
for everybody else. All right. For everybody else out there, please be sure to be with us next Monday, when we're going to be joined by Dr. Dean Waldman. And we're going to discuss his amazing new book, Curing the Cancer in the United States Healthcare. And it's States Care and Market-Based Medicine. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answers.network, or you can subscribe to the show through iTunes or our Apple Podcast, actually, iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, YouTube, YouTube, Spreaker, and so on. There's so many more. If you have a particular platform that you listen to and you don't find us on there, let them know that you want us on there, or let us know, and we will get that part taken care of too. And know that if you like what you hear, leave a review. It helps us reach more people, and I want you to know we greatly appreciate it. And the next time you're on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, please remember to stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts, and if you like them, please like us, subscribe, spread the word. And most of all, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers Network.
Hello, I'm Marty Cove. You might remember me from roles such as Sensei in the Karate Kid films. I've done over 100 films and countless stunts in my career, and I've always given 100%. With the damage done to my body over time, I needed to find relief from my chronic pain. My passion for health and fitness drove me to find a natural way to combat muscle pain. Teaming up with doctors, detectives, and a compounding pharmacist, we've created Marty's Cobra Cove Ultra Strength CBD Cream. It's the only thing that has been strong enough to knock out my pain, and fast. Honestly, you may have tried the rest, but it's time to try the best. It's legal, it's safe, and 100% effective. Show your pain no mercy. Thank you.
You're listening to Answers Network with Alan Cardoza, only on LA Talk Radio.